Daniel 2, verse 16. Then Daniel went in and desired of the king, remember he's standing before Nebuchadnezzar, desired of the king that he would give him time and that he would show the king the interpretation. Then Daniel went to his house and made the thing known to Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, his companions, that they would desire mercies of the God of heaven concerning this secret, that Daniel and his fellows should not perish with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. I want to think for a few minutes this morning of the question or the subject, what to do in a crisis. From time to time, in the lives of each person, even God's people, there are such circumstances, such situations that arise. And perhaps that's where you find yourself, find your family on this Sabbath day. We want to think of what to do. What to do when such situations arise. The fact is that Daniel was in a crisis. The king Nebuchadnezzar had a dream, and as I emphasized to you in the reading, sometimes it's not noticed or overlooked, but the Nebuchadnezzar had forgotten his dream. In verse 5 he said, "The thing is gone from me." Maybe you've had a similar experience, had a dream. You knew you had a dream, but the next day you couldn't remember what the dream was about. Couldn't remember the details of it. Well, that's exactly how Nebuchadnezzar found himself. And when he summoned his wise men before him in the palace, he wanted those wise men both to give him the description and the interpretation of the dream. In other words, he wanted those men to tell him what he had dreamed and then what the dream actually meant. He wanted them to be able to give him the details that he couldn't remember himself. So it was quite a demand. And the wise men, of course, failed. They were showing up and they protested strongly in the clearest language to the king about the request that he had made. And as a result of that, the king was furious. And he commanded all of these wise men to be put to death. And that would include Daniel and his three godly friends. It seems that Daniel was unaware of all that had happened up until that point, till the decree went forth, because he asked one of the king's officers, the man Arioch, mentioned in the chapter, he asked Arioch to explain what was happening and why there was such haste with the king's decree. So Daniel was in a crisis, and his life and the lives of his friends was in grave danger. And that crisis had various aspects or various levels to it. For Daniel, it was a personal crisis. It says in verse 13, they sought Daniel. His life personally was in grave danger at that time. It was also a political crisis because it involved the king. And remember that these wise men were like the advisors of state. So here's a political crisis in the kingdom and in the city of Babylon. It's also a national crisis because it was something that the effects, when it all fell out, it would affect the whole kingdom. So it's clear, brethren and sisters, here was a very serious situation that had unfolded in the city of Babylon. Can I say, as we think of that, perhaps this is your situation today. This is how you find yourself. Maybe there's a crisis, a great crisis in your life. You've received some bad news about your health, about your job, about your business, about your family. Maybe as you've come to the house of God today, your heart is heavy. You're facing a very difficult, maybe even very extreme circumstances. If that is the case, I pray you'll be helped. I pray you'll be strengthened, encouraged, and guided by our meditation even of this passage today. It is true to say, we look out on our province, our own nation. You think of Britain as a country in crisis. You only have to think of the autumn we've had, the floods, the heavy rain. In reality, that is the finger of God. They talk about global warming. The reality, men and women, is that all of those things are a global warning. God is warning the nations. Remember what he said to Israel in the book of that great statement that we often quote, prepare to meet thy God, Amos chapter 4. There was different things that God had brought upon the nation. The famine and the pestilence. All the things that are outlined. And he said to them over and over again, yet have you not returned unto me. And that's exactly where our country finds itself. God is speaking through all of these events. Even through the autumn and the harvest that we have received. And yet as the Lord looks down upon our province and our land, he has to make the same lamentation. Yet have you not returned unto me. We see a nation in crisis. When we think of those events, we think of the finances, the days of recession that we live in. We think of the faith, the turning away from the things of God. We stand in great need of revival. The reality, men and women, is, if we've eyes to see it, we're in a serious situation as a nation, nationally, politically, and most of all spiritually. And as we think of those things, a crisis personally or individually, a crisis nationally, here's the great question, what do you do? What do you do as a believer in such circumstances? Well, this passage of God's word, Daniel chapter 2, holds the answer to that. Remember, this is a vital chapter prophetically. It is one of the most important chapters in all the Bible as far as the study of the prophetic scriptures is concerned. This chapter is an outline of world history from the days of Nebuchadnezzar right until the end time, till the coming again of the Lord Jesus Christ. In his will, and in time we will take a little look at that. I want to urge you to study the chapter carefully yourself. So it's a key chapter, a vital chapter prophetically. But brethren and sisters, there are many practical lessons in the chapter and in the book of Daniel as a whole. And we want to study some of them this morning. What to do when a crisis comes? The first answer is to pray, and how important that is. Do you see what it says in verse 18 of our text? That they would desire mercies of the God of heaven. Isn't that a tremendous statement? And that's what we need to do for ourselves and for our land. We need to pray for mercies. Daniel prayed about the crisis. Isn't that true to character? Here's a man, and he brought the situation to the Lord. And I say to you today, whatever circumstances you're facing, you should do the same. Don't worry about it. Don't fret about it. Don't worry about the trouble that you face. What you should do is pray. As the hymn writer said, take it to the Lord in prayer. There was a great problem that faced Daniel and his friends at this time. But remember what he did. He brought it to a great God before the throne of grace in prayer. You remember that Daniel faced other crises in his lifetime. The most notable one, chapter 6, when they threw him into the den of lions. And you remember that he responded then in exactly the same way. He prayed then too. We're told when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, what did he do? He went into his house, and his windows being open in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed. What a lesson that sets before us. What an example of the character of this man. The reality was, every time Daniel was in danger, every time his life was in danger, He prayed. I wonder, are you like that? Remember, brethren and sisters, in extreme circumstances, when they come, you might be tempted to do many things. But the first thing that every Christian should do is to pray. Take time to bring it before the Lord. You think of Hezekiah. Do you remember that he received that letter that was written against him? All the threats contained within it of the enemy. And what did Hezekiah do? He went into the house of God and he spread that letter out before the Lord. What a man of God he was, Hezekiah. What character that shows. He brought it to the Lord, set the letter down, and he prayed over it. And he asked God to step in, asked for the intervention of heaven. We need to pray when there's a crisis, brethren and sisters. You notice that he prayed collectively, because we're told in verse 17, then Daniel went to his house and made the thing known to Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, his companions. He prayed with his friends. In other words, they held a prayer meeting. Here's men that prayed together about this matter. Remember that the Bible exhorts you to pray privately. You need to pray in your own. The Savior in the Sermon on the Mount taught, but thou when thou prayest, enter into thy closet. And when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret. There's a need, brethren and sisters, a great need. Day by day, every day you live, there's a great need for private or secret prayer. Can I ask you, were you alone with God today? Before you came out to the house of God this morning, asking for his hand in the meetings, asking for a blessing from the word? The Bible teaches the importance of private prayer, but it also teaches the need for collective prayer. Christians should pray together. There's a need for prayer meetings. And we have great examples of that in the books, or the book of the Acts of the Apostles. Do you remember the Savior said, if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything, it shall be done of your Father which is in heaven. Two of you shall agree in the place of prayer. It's vital, brethren and sisters, to pray together. Do you remember Acts chapter 12? Time of crisis in Jerusalem in the early church. James, one of the leaders of the church, was dead, put to death at the hand of Herod. Peter was now on death row. And what did the believers do? Well, they prayed together. Many were gathered together to pray. You know, it's a sad thing when Christians are in trouble and they say, can't go to the prayer meeting tonight. Do you know, brethren and sisters, when there's trouble, when there's a crisis, the best place, in fact, the first place to go should be the prayer meeting. That's the first place that Daniel went to, and we should follow in his footsteps. So they prayed collectively. You'll see as well they prayed continuously. In verse 19 of the chapter, we're told, in a night, a vision. Here's men gathering together to pray, and they prayed on into the night, a night of prayer. A night prayer meeting. And at times, brethren and sisters, that's what's needed. Do you remember the Savior telling the parable of the unjust judge? Shall not God avenge his own elect which cry day and night unto him? You know, there's times when the situation calls for the fact that you must go on the night shift, and go on the night shift for the Lord. You study in the Bible the things that God's people did in the night for the Lord. Think of Nehemiah. He arose in the night. There are many who gave up their sleep in order to do a work for God. So I want you to see, if you're in a crisis, here's where to begin. Here's the first thing to do. Pray. Take it to the Lord at the throne of grace. I want you to see the second thing is power. Verse 16, it says, think of what Daniel's doing here. He went in and desired of the king. Remember, this is Nebuchadnezzar we're reading of. He desired of the king that he would give him time. Do you see the courage, the boldness of Daniel? He went in to speak to Nebuchadnezzar. Can I ask you, put yourself in his shoes. Would you have done what Daniel did if you were found in these circumstances? Remember the sort of man Nebuchadnezzar was. You could easily perish. You could easily lose your life. Depended on his mood at that particular moment, with a snap of his fingers, your head could be on the block. It shows you the sort of man Daniel was, the sort of courage that he displayed. It teaches us you can only do this sort of thing, the thing that Daniel did here. There's only one way you can do it, and that's by the power of God, not in your own strength. Do you remember what Nebuchadnezzar's grandson Belshazzar said of Daniel? I have even heard of thee. He had been told stories. He had heard reports. I have even heard of thee that the spirit of the gods is in thee. That's the only way that he knew to describe it. The spirit of the gods. You see, even wicked Belshazzar knew there was a supernatural power about the life of Daniel. And the question, brethren and sisters, is for us as a congregation this morning, do you have it? Do you have that power? Do you have the Spirit of God? Is it evident that it's resting upon your life? You think of Peter, the contrast in his life before and after Pentecost. Before Pentecost, he was a denier of Christ. But after Pentecost, what a difference, what a contrast. He's now a great dynamic preacher, the Lord owning his ministry, thousands being converted. What was it that made the difference? Where did he get the boldness and the courage? Well, there's only one answer. It was the power of the Holy Ghost in his life. And brethren and sisters, when extreme situations arise, when a crisis comes in the life of a child of God, we need that power. We need the power of God. That's the only way you can stand. That's the only way you can continue. That's the only way you can face the future. Remember what Paul wrote to the Philippians? I can do all things. What a tremendous statement. Stupendous statement that is. There's not a thing in life, there's not a situation that crosses your path that you cannot face. I can do all things. Take the comfort of that today. But there's only one way you can do all things. Not in your own strength, but through Christ, which strengtheneth me. That's the only way, men and women, to get through the future. Do you remember Joshua? The message that he received from the Lord, be strong and of a good courage. Did you know that Joshua got that message from the Lord not once, not twice, but seven times? There's times, you know, it's important to get the same message from God over and over again. Sometimes we're a bit slow on the pickup. Sometimes we miss it, we don't hear it the first time round. God speaketh once, yea, twice, yet man perceiveth it not. So there's times you need to get the message over and over. And I want to say to you today, brethren and sisters, if you're in trouble, here's what the Lord would say to your heart today. Be strong and of a good courage. Do you know how you get this boldness, this courage that Daniel displayed at this time? You don't get it in a book. You don't get it in a bottle. That so-called Dutch courage you hear people speak about. You don't get it by going on a course. If you want to get this boldness and this courage, you need to pray for it. Ask God to give it to you. Paul, writing to the Ephesians, said, and for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly. Isn't that what Daniel did standing before Nebuchadnezzar? He opened his mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. There's not a doubt in my mind. I'm sure that Daniel prayed a prayer similar to that before he stood before Nebuchadnezzar at that time. So here's what to pray for today, brethren and sisters. Pray God will give you utterance. God will give you power and boldness and courage for whatever lies ahead. There's a third thing that you need in a time of crisis, and that's patience. Verse 16 of the chapter, it says that he desired of the king that he would give him time. Daniel wanted the king to give him a wee bit more time before he put his decree into effect, the decree that would mean that all the wise men in Babylon would be put to death. It's interesting that the king was willing to give him more time. Do you know why that's interesting? Because earlier in the chapter, the king had refused to give the wise men of Babylon more time. They wanted it too. Verse 8 of the chapter, the king answered and said, I know of a certainty that ye would gain the time. You see, he wouldn't give them any longer to consider the matter. But this shows to us the weight that Daniel had even in Nebuchadnezzar's palace. Daniel was a man who could prevail with God, but he could also prevail with men. You see, Daniel wanted time, didn't want to rush, didn't want to panic. He showed patience. And when a crisis comes, you should do the same. Do you remember the words of Paul in Hebrews? You have need of patience. How important that principle is. That's true of many aspects of life, but it's especially true whenever you find yourself in trouble. You have need of patience. Don't do anything hasty. That's good advice, brethren and sisters. We find the same in the Old Testament, the book of Isaiah. He that believeth shall not make haste. Need to be patient. Need to take your time when trouble comes. Do you remember Joseph? Joseph, the mother of Mary, the husband of Mary. Joseph heard that his betrothed wife Mary was pregnant. She was with child. He knew in his heart the trouble that would cause. The trouble it would cause for him and his family. But you know what the Bible says about Joseph when he heard that news? While he thought on these things. You see, he didn't get in a hurry. He didn't make a rash decision. He didn't utter something hastily. He took time to ponder it. He was patient to think over it. And we ought to do the same. Do you remember Job? Job lost everything. Can you put yourself in Job's place? Think of all that the Lord permitted him to come through. Think of the agony of his body. Even more than that, think of the deep pain of his heart. But what did Job do in those tragic circumstances, brethren and sisters? Do you know what he did? He waited on the Lord. Do you know how we know that? Because of what the New Testament tells us about Job. You have heard of the patience of Job. When was Job patient? When God was bringing him through all of those deep and bitter trials. Showed great patience. And what an example he sets forth to us. Do you know one of the things people do most hastily when they're in trouble? Maybe you've done it. They make a rash vow to God. They say, Lord, if you get me out of this trouble, if you get me out of this situation, I'll do this or I'll do that for you. Did you keep the vow you made in those circumstances, made hastily? Often the vows that people make in those circumstances are vows that they can't or they won't keep. Isn't there a warning in the Word of God? Solomon, the book of Ecclesiastes, said, be not rash with thy mouth, and let not thine heart be hasty to utter anything before God. Don't be rash. Don't be hasty in the things you say, especially in the vows that you make. You need to be patient. There's one other thing I'll mention, what to do in a crisis. It's the matter of prudence or wisdom. Verse 14 of the chapter, then Daniel answered with counsel and wisdom to Arioch, the captain of the king's guard. Just to emphasize to you, Daniel chapter 2, it's a chapter all about wise men. There are 8 mentions of wise men in this chapter. when you read down it, take the time to note them and to mark them. Look at the end of verse 14, for example, which was gone forth to slay the wise men of Babylon. So it's a chapter all about wise men. And remember, these were wise men from the east, the wise men at the birth of Christ. They came from the same area. They came from the same region of Babylon, the same area in which Daniel now finds himself. But when you think of the wise men mentioned in Daniel chapter 2, remember this. Daniel was the wisest of them all. Daniel was a man, and his life stood out. Stood out for many things. Stood out for his prayer and his patience, its power, and so on that we've emphasized this morning. But his life stood out for its prudence, for his wisdom too. Here's a man that had distinguished himself in that area, even in a place like Babylon, where there were so many wise men. Do you remember what we pointed out in chapter 1? Whenever he was brought in before the king, after that prescribed period of learning and of study, they found him to be 10 times better than all the magicians and all the astrologers that were in all his realm. So Daniel was a man of great wisdom. And he used that wisdom in this time of trouble. He displayed that wisdom by what he did and by what he said. The 14th verse, then Daniel answered with counsel and wisdom. See, he's displaying the wisdom with which God has blessed him. Don't we have to acknowledge, brethren and sisters, maybe you might have to acknowledge it today, as all of us do. There are times it's not wisdom that we show, but rather it's foolishness by our actions and our words that have made a bad situation in your home and family far worse, far greater than it really ought to have been. Do you remember Solomon, a young man, setting out at the beginning of his reign in Israel, and the Lord appeared unto him with a request, ask what thou wilt. Isn't that staggering? That the God of heaven would come to a mere mortal and say to him, ask whatever you want, and I'll give it to you. And he asked for wisdom. Not for money, not for power, not for fame, not for victory. God gave him all of those things as well. But the thing that was on his heart was, he wanted God to give him wisdom, an understanding heart. It was a good request. It pleased the Lord. And we can learn from that, brethren and sisters. There's not a man or a woman or young person in this meeting this morning that doesn't need that wisdom from the hand of God himself. You ask, how do you get it? Well, let me tell you as I finish. You get it by supplication. The Bible teaches the Lord giveth wisdom. Never forget that. That's the source. That's where Daniel's wisdom came from. Chapter 1, verse 17 says, God gave them something that came from the hand of God. God gave them knowledge and skill in all learning and wisdom. And Daniel had understanding in all visions and dreams. Daniel's wisdom was something that was divine in its source. It was something that came to him from above. Brethren and sisters, the Lord is the one that you need to look to. Can I stress that to you? Do you want to know what to do in your circumstances, your situation? Do you remember those in the Old Testament? Neither know we what to do. Is that how you find yourself this morning? As you've come to the meeting, the circumstances, the situation, the trouble, the trial that is before you, you don't know what to do. You don't know what course to take, what decision to make. Well, ask the Lord to help you. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Ask God to give the wisdom that is needed for this hour. for this day. James says, if any man, there's nobody excluded there. Think of that. There's a promise from God, and every person in this meeting that knows the Lord, you can claim it. If any man, doesn't matter what position you hold, what background you come from, what job you have, what education you may have received, if any man lack wisdom, what do you do when you're in that situation at a loss to know what course to take? Let him ask of God, who giveth to all men liberally. Remember, God is bountiful in his giving. We have acknowledged that at the harvest already this year. But God is bountiful in his giving of wisdom too. He giveth to all men liberally. What an encouragement that should be to your heart today. And I always rejoice at that little bit at the end, and upbraid it not. Have you been in the position where maybe your parents told you off, said you're stupid? Maybe you were in that position in the classroom. You got a rebuke from the teacher for being a wee bit slow. Well, think of how gracious the Lord is. Upbraideth not. If you come to him and say, Lord, I'm at a loss. I just don't know what to do. I need your help, Father. He'll not tell you off. It'll not be one of those sort of sessions that you'll receive. He giveth to all men liberally. But you remember what the verse says? Let him ask in faith. Nothing wavering. He that wavereth is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. Need to pray God will increase our faith. So here's a little, brethren and sisters, of what to do in a crisis. Need to pray. Need the power of God. Need to be patient. We want to see a hasty conclusion. We want to rush on, want to rush in there. You have need of patience, and we have need of prudence. So if you're facing a crisis today, I trust that Daniel's example, I trust that these thoughts will be a blessing, a help, a comfort, and of great guidance to you today. 441.